Today our topic is looking at slaves and masters. And when you think of slavery, perhaps you think that's something that used to exist in the world several decades ago. It's when human beings are treated as property and bought and sold and forced to work against their will. Now, human slavery has been a part of many cultures in the history of the world. And throughout history, it's probably many millions of people, particularly from Africa, have been taken against their will and bought and sold as slaves. Now, thankfully, almost a decade ago, slavery has finally been banned in every country across the world. Perhaps you thought it was earlier than that, but it's really only been in the last 10 years. However, it's been reported recently that extreme Islamic groups in the Middle East and Africa have been engaging in slavery. Normally, it's women and children who have refused to convert to Islam who have been taken as slaves. And last year, a United Nations envoy to Iraq was given a copy of an ISIS price list for slaves. Coming in at the top of the list was the price for children up to 9 years old. They were valued at a price equal to around $165, which isn't much really when you think about it. And despite the fact that slavery is illegal, that's not to say that various forms of slavery don't occur illegally across the world today as a result of illegal activities such as people smuggling. Now, back in Paul's day, slavery was a social reality. And it's interesting to see how the church dealt with it. The church didn't seek to overturn the social institution of slavery, although it did promote the value of freedom, and it did also teach that slaves should be given their freedom if possible. It encouraged masters to think about that, particularly if they were Christian masters. And in particular, as we see in Colossians chapter 4, verse 1, it taught that Christian owners of slaves should do what is right and fair to their slaves. It says, "Masters, render what is right and fair to your slaves, knowing that you also have a master in heaven." Now, the word translated as fair there actually means equality. Christian owners of slaves were to treat their slaves as people with value, as people, as human beings who are equals with them in the Lord. And that's quite a radical concept, to treat slaves as being equal to their masters. And also notice how masters of slaves were to take God as their model in their role as being a master of some slaves. And we need to keep in mind at this point that the word for master and lord, it's the same word in the original Greek. Earthly masters have a heavenly master who is Lord of all. Just as God treats us with firmness, but also lovingly and compassionately, so too Christian slave owners were to treat their slaves with respect and dignity. In Ephesians 6:9, Paul says that masters are not to threaten their slaves, knowing that he who is both their master and yours is in heaven, and that there is no partiality with him. Both masters and slaves are equally under the authority of the master who is the Lord of heaven. And he is the God who treats people not according to their social status, but according to their heart. We can see that the church also had instructions for those who found themselves enslaved. Slaves were encouraged by the church to seek their freedom where legally possible, but where they were stuck with being a slave, genuine devotion to their masters was taught. And we can see a good example of this in Colossians 3, verses 22 to 25, where Paul says, "Slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, not outwardly as pleasing people, but with sincerity of heart, fearing the Lord." The instruction given to slaves mirrors that given to children just previously. Just as children are to obey their parents in everything, so too slaves are to obey their masters in everything. And note also, too, how the service that they were to render to their masters was to be genuine. It was to be done with sincerity of heart, out of a fear for God, and not just for the sake of show. The word used in the original Greek literally means eye service. Don't just do it to catch the eye of your master. It's a bit like a child who's called by his or her parent to clean up their room. The child doesn't want to do it, but whenever the parent looks in the room or walks through the doorway, the child pretends to be busy packing up toys and cleaning up. It's eye service, isn't it? It's just there for the show. According to Paul, slaves were to serve their masters with a genuine devotion, not just to pretend for the sake of show in order to please their masters, while in reality doing as little as possible. And we're also given here a couple of reasons why there should be such sincerity in obedience. And we see this in verses 23 and 24. Paul says, "Whatever you do, work from the heart as for the Lord and not for people, knowing that you will receive from the Lord the reward of your inheritance." Christian slaves needed to realize that their service as a slave was actually a service towards God. And once again, keep in mind that the word master can also be translated as Lord. Slaves are to obey their earthly masters in everything, because in doing that, they are serving the ultimate master, the Lord Jesus Christ. So you can see that in serving their earthly masters, slaves were actually serving Christ. That's the way that the church chose to look at it. And the second reason for sincere service to their earthly masters relates to the personal benefit that accrues to the slave in doing so. In the end, as they are faithful in serving God as a literal slave, God will repay or reward their efforts with an eternal inheritance. Now, slaves, most of the time, they're not paid, are they, in this life for the work that they do. But Christian slaves were promised that God would repay them for their labour in the life to come. When the kingdom of God would come, they would be set free from slavery and receive the inheritance of eternal life. And furthermore, according to verse 25, God doesn't show favouritism. God doesn't care about whether you're a slave or a free person. God treats everyone equally and will deal with anyone who does what is wrong. So overall, when it comes to this topic of slaves and masters, the biblical teaching is slaves obey and masters treat your slaves rightly and fairly. Now, that's all well and good to look at the biblical teaching about slaves and masters there, but in the world where slavery no longer exists as a proper legal concept, how should we apply this teaching to ourselves today? Well, I reckon that the biblical teaching on slaves and masters has some principles that can also be applied to the situation of employees and employers. So it's good for us to explore this a little bit. Now, first of all, we should acknowledge that being an employee is not the same thing, legally speaking, as being a slave. Now, sure, sometimes it might feel like that's how you're being treated. If you're a worker and your boss is telling you, you've got to do this and got to do that. But legally speaking, you're not a slave. Legally speaking, a worker is giving up their time and effort for something in return, usually money in the form of a wage or salary, which has been agreed upon beforehand. As an employee, your boss doesn't own you. You might think that sometimes he might think that way, perhaps. That's how you're treated. But legally speaking, your boss doesn't own you. Now, if you're a Christian employer or a Christian boss within your organization, then you have the right to direct your employee to act in accordance with their job description. But you don't own your employee. That person is not your property. And if masters are taught in the scriptures to treat their slaves correctly and fairly, then how much more appropriate is it for employers who are Christian to treat their employees in a way that is right and fair according to the law? In other words, employers should treat their workers fairly. They should make fair deals with their workers and stick to what has been agreed to. To force workers to do what they haven't been employed to do, or to expect workers to work overtime without being paid for the extra work that they do, that is really unfair. It shouldn't be that way. But what about employees? Well, for those of us who work, or who one day will go out to work, or at least that's what our plan is, what should our attitude be in the work that we do? Well, the principles that Paul taught to Christian slaves can also be applied to Christian workers. If our boss tells us to do something, as long as it's consistent with our job description, and as long as it's not harmful to others or to the business employing us, and also as long as it's not going against God's teaching in the Bible, then we should obey our boss's instructions. Furthermore, our attitude in how we work is important. For those of us who work, or perhaps will be going to work in the future, when we get to work, perhaps we'll find out that our job isn't the ideal job, or perhaps it's not the most exciting job in the world to do. Perhaps at times also you'll feel like you wish that you could be paid more for the work that you do. But as a Christian, if you have work to do, God wants you to do that work with sincerity of heart. God wants you to fear Him as you do your work. As Christians, we shouldn't be doing our jobs half-heartedly. Our attitude shouldn't be to just do enough to make it look like we're working, when in reality we're really being lazy or slacking off in the job. In the end, if you have a job to do, then it's ultimately God who you're serving. Now think about it. If that applied to slaves back then, they were encouraged to see the work that they did as ultimately a service towards God, then how much more is it appropriate for us who are workers to view what we do as ultimately being a service to God? Paul says in verse 23, "Whatever you do, work from the heart as for the Lord, and not for people." You might at times think, oh, you're working to do stuff for your boss or for your company. No, the bigger picture is God has given you that work ultimately to serve Him. You might be employed by Boral Gas or by the Commonwealth Bank, but you're not really working for them. You're working for God. He wants you to do a good job. He wants you to be sincere and conscientious in your work. He wants you to contribute to the betterment of society and the growth of His kingdom here on earth through a positive attitude in the work that you do. Anyway, I acknowledge that at times it can be difficult in a work situation where you're not being treated fairly, and I've definitely had a number of conversations with people in this congregation who have found themselves in situations like that. To discuss a little bit further about how these principles apply to our work situation, I've actually asked someone from our church here who is a worker to share with us something about her work situation. So, Sandra, if you'd like to come up the front here. Thanks for coming up.
No worries.
And being prepared to be interviewed about this. Now, first of all, can you tell us a little bit about your job, about what it is and where it is and how long you've been working there for?
Okay, so I'm an accountant, a accounting firm in Parramatta, the BCG Accountants, and I started there in November, so I've been there a few months.
Mm-hmm. You enjoy the work there?
Yeah, it's okay.
It's okay?
A bit boring.
A bit boring at times, okay. Now, do you feel that you've been treated fairly as a worker in that company in terms of how much they pay you and what you're expected to do and in how they treat you?
Yeah, at this company, I feel like I'm being treated fairly. But I was at another company for a year and I wasn't getting paid as much, and they would promise a lot of things like training and support, but they never delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I decided to leave that, come to this new one.
Yep. Yeah, it's one thing that workers can do. You can choose to leave your job, which is something that slaves didn't have the option of doing. Now, what if you tried to do, like in your previous job, like it wasn't the ideal situation, apart from finding another place to work at? Did you try and deal with that situation somehow?
I guess I should have spoken to them about it, but...
It's difficult at times to do that.
Yeah, I just decided to find a new job.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely had some conversations with people in our congregation here who have found it very difficult in their work situation, and even just the idea of talking to the boss. Like, I think that's what you're supposed to do, but sometimes it's difficult to do that. But generally speaking, I would encourage people to do so. And there are some organisations also who have human resource section or whatever where you're supposed to be able to take issues like this too. But it can be awkward. Sometimes the easiest thing is just to find another job. Now, as a Christian, how have you normally approached your job in terms of the attitude that you take with you to work every day?
I guess to just go in knowing that you're supposed to be serving the Lord instead of your boss, and just keeping that in mind with the work that you produce. But yeah, in reality, it's hard because you forget that and just want to get the work done and get home.
Yeah. Okay, so thinking about what we've looked at today in terms of what the Apostle Paul said about slaves and masters, and we've seen how some of those principles can also be applied to us as workers or as bosses. Mm-hmm. What's the main thing, if anything, that you've been encouraged to do in your role as an employee from what we've looked at today?
I think to just be really aware of your attitude when you do your work and what you produce, that it's genuine and sincere, because just being reminded that you're really serving the Lord and not your earthly bosses.
Okay, anything else to share with us?
Not really.
No? So you're going to work again tomorrow?
Yeah.
Yeah? What time do you start?
9 to 8:30.
Okay. Alright, okay. Oh well, have a good sleep tonight and have a good week at work. Thanks for that, Sandra. So overall, remember, I think we could summarise the teaching that the Apostle Paul has here for us. If you're an employer or a boss, then make sure you treat your workers correctly and fairly. And if you're a worker, which I assume is the majority situation of most of us here, then we need to remember that it's ultimately Jesus who we're serving in the job that we do. So try your best in his strength to work sincerely with all of your heart and to view it as serving the Lord and not merely doing it for the sake of the eyes of the people around you.